Hi, we're the Bootlickers, and you're listening to
Queer Music Heritage
on KPFT in Houston.
There's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. It's a gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
Welcome to Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and I'm here on the fourth Monday of each month to bring you an hour devoted to our culture's music. I plan to cover a lot of territory in terms of years and types of music. Mostly, I just don't think the gay and lesbian music of the past should be forgotten. And I try to give a little information about the music and artists as I go. I also slip in songs from the present as well. I introduce this segment with the song Gay Spirit by Charlie Murphy from the 1979 album Walls to Roses. It's one of my favorite gay anthems, and here's just a little more of it.
It's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. A gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
I'm going to start off tonight's show with one of the earliest openly gay 45s. It's from 1973, and there's no subtlety in the lyrics. This is a very gay song. I just discovered this record, and what's more interesting, at least to me, is that the artist is someone I had already heard of. In fact, I bet most of you have heard this artist. Here's a little bit of his huge hit from 1965 that reached number 3 on the Billboard charts.
Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the moon up above and a thing called love. Let me tell you about the stars and the sky.
That was Jule Akins with his only hit, The Birds and the Bees. The record I found by him, from 1973, was advertised in the Advocate at the time as the first gay rock single 45. Until I found that ad, which you can see a picture of at my website, I had never even heard of this record or any mention of him being gay. And my research has uncovered nothing additional on it, so the record is all we have to go by. Here is Jule Akins singing He's Good for Me.
Mama, I was young, you taught me right from wrong. Now I'm grown, I must leave home. My true love has come home. And oh, mama, he's so good for me. Told me to leave him, let him go. I tried to do it, but I love him so. Mama, loves me too, and there's just one thing that you can do is leave us both alone. Oh yeah, mama, I was young, you taught me about the birds and the bees. Now I'm grown, I'm on my own, you can't control me as you please. He's so good for me. You told me to leave him and let him go. I tried to do it, but I love him so. Mama, he loves me too, and there's just one thing that you can do is leave us both alone. Oh yeah, mama, woman, you better stop. A man is here to stay. All the wrong that he may do, I love him anyway. And oh, mama, he's doggone good to me. Oh, so doggone good. good to me. He's good for me. Mama, I love that man. You don't understand. You just don't know. I love that man. Because he's good to me. He's so doggone.
I'm going to follow up Jule Akins with another artist primarily known for his work in the 60s, Neil Sedaka. Now, Neil Sedaka is not gay, but the two songs I'm going to play, sung by Sedaka, are of interest because he and his writing partner, Howard Greenfield, wrote them to be recorded by women. They were prolific writers, not only for hits by Sedaka, but also for others. And as was often done in those days, they would record demos of the songs in order to interest producers in recording them. Since the demos were never intended to be marketed, Sedaka sung them regardless of the gender of the intended singer. So here's one called My Best Friend Barbara from 1963. It was never a hit, although Connie Francis recorded it on one of her albums. And I'm following it with a song Connie Francis did make a hit out of, which you should recognize immediately.
I told my best friend Barbara what a great guy Jimmy was. Whoever thought the day would come when Jimmy would be hers? My best friend Barbara told me Jimmy's no good. And like a fool, I listened to her the way she knew I would.
The way she knew I would.
My best friend Barbara. My best friend Barbara said he cheats and he lies. She couldn't wait for me to break up with him. Now Jimmy's Barbara's guy.
Jimmy's Barbara's guy.
My best friend Barbara. My best friend Barbara, she's going steady with Jim. And every single night I sit home and cry while Barbara's kissing him.
While Barbara's kissing him.
My best friend Barbara. Look at her, hanging on his arm, trying very hard to please. There's a moral to the story with friends like her.
Who needs enemies?
Till he holds me, I'll wait.
Trek could have heard songs like that on the radio in the 60s. It could have made things easier. That song, of course, was Where the Boys Are, a huge hit for Connie Francis in 1961. An additional footnote to this segment is that Neil Sedaka has been a strong supporter of the organization AMFAR, the American Foundation for AIDS Research, because his writing partner Howard Greenfield died of AIDS in 1986. The next group I'm featuring was one of the earliest all-women rock bands. They were called Isis, after the Egyptian goddess. They brought a kind of jazz, rock, Latin style of music that was big and bold. The band was founded in 1973 by Carol McDonald and Ginger Bianco, and they went on to release three albums between 1974 and 1977. The personnel on these albums varied, but McDonald and Bianco were the constant forces. Carol McDonald was the lead singer and writer for the group. She and Ginger Bianco had a long history together. They were both members of the 60s girl group Goldie and the Gingerbreads. Now, the term girl group isn't really right for Goldie and the Gingerbreads, as they played their own instruments. In fact, when they were signed to Atlantic Records in 1964, they became the first all-female band to be signed by a major label. Their manager quickly whisked them off to England, where they recorded a handful of singles, one of which reached number 25 there. Here is a bit of that song. That song was Can't You Hear My Heartbeat, and ironically, an American group made it a hit in England, and an English group, Herman's Hermits, had the big hit with it over here. Now, I haven't forgotten that I was telling you about the group Isis, but I want to go back for one more piece of trivia in the recording career of Carol McDonald. Even before Goldie and the Gingerbreads, she'd recorded a record that made the radio. It was definitely not a hit, and it was under the name Carol Shaw in 1963, and was called Jimmy Boy, full of sappy teen angst. Here's a clip of it.
You're hanging around with a very bad crowd, making trouble everywhere you go. Every night the neighbors hear you shouting loud, putting on a big, big show. Well, don't be that way, Jimmy Boy. Don't do what those other rebels do. Just walk like a man.
After Jimmy Boy and her years with Goldie and the Gingerbreads, Carol McDonald wanted to be able to express herself with Isis, and that certainly was the case. Their first album contained a song openly about the love between two women, and the album included a lyric sheet just in case you weren't sure what you heard. And the cover of the album featured the group nude, their bodies painted chrome metallic, so the album was a bold statement, inside and out. They were probably too bold for the mainstream music industry to accept. McDonald was later quoted with saying, "I had too many years in the closet. I did that with Goldie and the Gingerbreads. It drove me crazy. I hated it. Isis may have made it if I hadn't come out." Isis was sometime compared with the group Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and here's a short clip of a song of that style. That was called Waiting for the Sunrise from their first Isis album, just called Isis. But the song from that album that interests me more was the one that caused a bit of controversy due to its woman-to-woman lyrics. Here's that out song called She Loves Me.
She makes it nice when she holds me. Softly, she tells me she needs me. So
Well, She Loves Me by Isis. Time to take a break for this message.
This is Ann Reed. You're listening to Queer Music Heritage on KPFT Houston.
Also, be sure to listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night at midnight on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. And this is a good time to mention that since there are so many obscurities heard on this show, I thought those of you on the internet would like to be able to view the playlist and see photos of the artists and recordings. And that includes the cover of that Isis album I mentioned. You can do that at www.queermusicheritage.com. Okay, I used the show ID Ann Reed did for me as an introduction to a mini-interview we recorded last fall at the Houston Women's Festival. I caught up with her at the table where she was selling her CDs.
Ann, welcome to Houston.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back.
You've been at these festivals before?
I haven't been at the festival before, but I've done about two or three shows, and it's been a while since I've been back to Houston, so it's kind of nice.
And you brought a whole table full of CDs.
It's the Ann Reed Mall,
yeah. How many CDs do you have?
I've done 12 recordings. I have, I think, six or seven titles in CD now.
Wow.
Maybe seven or eight. I'm not sure, but...
There's like more over there.
Yeah, I know. Well, I can't keep track of them either, so... But and we're doing a holiday CD where I'm doing some instrumentals of Christmas carols and things like that. So that'll be the next one.
To someone who hasn't heard your style, how would you describe it?
Well, you know, it's those labels are always hard because I do a variety of styles. I'm always classified as being a folk artist. At one time, we were referring to my music as acoustic eclectic because it did span a lot of different styles. It spans folk and jazz and blues and incorporates a little bit of everything. So it's very hard to put a label on it.
Is there any song that you've written that you're the most proud of?
Well, I always say for a songwriter that you're really lucky if you write a song and it goes out and has a life without you, where it just makes friends and, you know. And Heroes has done that for me. Also, Every Long Journey has done that for me, where people are writing to me. I have kids writing to me about Heroes and stuff. So that's very rewarding and very nice.
Great. I'd love you to tell me about power tools.
Well, I've got several people in my life who have this affinity for hardware stores and power tools, and my manager is one of them. She always has some kind of a tool on her Christmas list. And we always have to have her cut a picture of one out so that we know what she's talking about. We went up to this gig in Alaska. They've got, like, the world's largest hardware store up there. She almost went into a coma. It was unbelievable. But got back, talked to our hardware store, who were sort of upset with us, sort of like we cheated on them. We went to a different hardware store. And they said, you know, you don't have any hardware songs. And I thought, oh, well, old dopey me, what have I been writing about? But... came up with that, and I kind of thought that Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend needed to be rewritten anyway, so it was a good use of it.
A kiss on the hand may be quite long in coming. Power tools are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't fix the plumbing in your humble flat, or help install a second bath. Boys get weird as girls appear with their tool belts and drills in their hands. Cordless screwdrivers, jigsaws and miners, power tools are a girl's best friend. Like recessive genes, this will show up for certain. Power tools are a girl's best friend. It all seems routine, maybe hanging a curtain, and this simple chore will send her to a hardware store. Lumber yards, Knox, Menards, and you'll find that the search never ends. Pneumatic hammers and orbital sanders, power tools are a girl's best friend. Lumberyards, Knox, Menards, and you'll find that the search never ends. pneumatic hammers and orbital sanders. Power tools are a girl's best friend. A kiss on the hand may be quite long in coming. Power tools are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't fix the plumbing in your humble flat or help install a second bath. Boys get weird as girls appear with their tool belts and drills in their hands. Cordless screwdrivers, jigsaws and miners, power tools, power tools, power tools are a girl's best friend.
That's my favorite song of hers. That was Power Tools by Ann Reed, and it can be found on her 1997 album called Timing Is Everything. There was another artist I interviewed at the Houston Women's Festival. She's Yvonne Perea from Long Beach, California. Again, we had the crowd noise to contend with, but I think you'll get the idea. Where are you from, Yvonne?
I am from Anaheim, California originally, but I live in Long Beach now.
What's the name of your new CD?
Well, the newest one is Tomorrow's Day, and we're working on a one that has Hyde on it and a few other new songs. Got about five of them recorded so far.
When do you think it'll be out?
I'm hoping 6 months. Hoping. It's difficult. You have to find investors and sell your other CDs to pay them back. And
make sure it's not just a vanity project.
Yeah, exactly.
If you could describe your style to someone who's never heard it, how would you do that?
I would say probably folky blues, like acoustic folky blues. I don't really like to call it pop, but
no,
I don't
pop.
Think it's pop.
No.
Yeah, I'd say folky blues.
Who's your audience?
Who's my audience? Anyone who will listen. I feel like when I write, I try and get a message across to people, and who knows what it would be at the time I'm writing, but everybody and anybody who will listen.
Tell us about the song Hyde.
Hyde. I wrote Hyde when I was frustrated with a lot of people who judge gay and lesbian couples for holding hands. Hyde is about people that feel like they have to hide something about themselves. And I wrote it based on not only my own experiences of judgment, but just seeing how gays and lesbians are treated. And it's just not right. Nobody should have to hide anything about themselves. It's such an important song, definitely one of them.
How is that song received when you perform it live?
Very well. Very, very well.
They get it.
They get it. Yes, they get it, definitely. Yeah.
They say we've sinned beyond heaven's door. We will be condemned to hell all alone. And I say my God is full of love. He will be the one who will not judge.
That was Yvonne Priya with her song Hide, an excellent song for Lesbian and Gay Pride Month. Her most recent album is called Tomorrow's Day. I want to share one more song by her. Here is My Love is Divine.
Guess I should go out today. Try to fill this empty space. It's been making for so long. Feel your spirit in this room. Starts of you start to bloom. And I know that it's wrong. Why does it even matter? 'Cause I feel guilty as it is. Don't know what to do to me. Sometimes you're my enemy. It shuts down all my will. Hoping you won't walk away when you hear what I have to say. 'Cause they are pretty big shoes to fill. They'll wait for you till my heart stops its beat. Space that's left too small. What's going on is way too big. An overwhelming fear of sin. You should not know.
Again, that was Von Perea. Next up, I want to dig into our queer disco history. In 1975, a 45 RPM record was released on a label called Gaye Records. That's Gaye spelled G-A-I-E-E. And the label was a subsidiary of Motown Records. The artist's name was Valentino, and the song was called I Was Born This Way. And with this release, Valentino became probably the first artist to come out of the closet in a song. There's no confusing the song's lyrics. They include the lines, I'm happy, I'm carefree, I'm gay. Yes, I'm gay. Tain't no fault, 'tis a fact, I was born this way. An unlikely twist to this story is that the song was written by a straight woman. Her name was Bunny Jones. In an interview she did with The Advocate in 1975, she stated that before entering the music business, she owned several beauty salons in Harlem, and that most of her employees were gay. Through becoming friends with them, she became aware of their suppression as gay people. She spotted Valentino, whose real name is Charles Harris, while he was in a Long Island theater doing a revival of Hair. She quickly convinced him to record the song, and then managed to get Motown Records interested in releasing it. However, it did not become the huge disco hit they dreamed of, probably since Motown did little to promote it, and it faded quietly. As a footnote, Motown apparently changed their minds a couple years later and put out the record again, this time with a singer named Carl Bean, but it too did not catch on. You can see photos of Valentino and his record and Bunny Jones at my website, along with all the other artists you've heard on tonight's show. That's at www.queermusicheritage.com. So here is I Was Born This Way by Valentino.
To hold my head up high, so high, high. Now
last artist I'm featuring this evening is one I met through my association with the organization called Out Music. That group is based out of New York City and is a network of GLBT artists, producers, media people, and just plain fans who believe in the music and want to help support it. Well, the group started in New York and now includes members from all over. A few months ago, I was scanning their website and noticed a new artist listed. Her name is Ann Engel, and she lives in Southern California. I had not heard of her, but went to her website and listened to a couple sound clips from her album, and I was hooked. I contacted her and arranged to get her CD, and she told me that a couple weeks later she'd be in Houston performing at a coffee house. Well, I immediately arranged for us to do an interview when she got here, and you'll hear clips from that. Ann, how would you describe your musical style to someone who's never heard it?
I tend to describe my stuff as acoustic rock, kind of like in the Melissa Etheridge vein. It has a lot of different styles within it, but you know, it's good stuff.
Who's your audience?
Well, the audience I prefer to play for is gay and lesbians, because especially the women, I love playing for the women in the women's clubs. My audience is usually people that like the lyrics and the emotional content of the song.
Is it important for you to be out as an artist?
Yes, I used to come out while I was actually performing, especially I think when I would do Please, 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 or A Good Thing is a song that I actually wrote when I was just came out. And it talks about all love being a good thing, and that's how I introduce it. Nowadays, I don't come out as often, but some of my songs are out, and that kind of comes out for me.
Who are your musical influences?
I am a huge Stevie Nicks fan. I saw them singing, I think it was at the Tusk Tour, and I just fell in love with her, and I was amazed that women were writing such great songs, and that's what encouraged me to start writing music. And sometimes I think that's what helped me be a lesbian as well.
When did you start writing?
Probably when I was about 18 years old, so a little while ago.
How do you write a song?
My words and my music come at the same time. I usually pick up the guitar, start fiddling with it. Many times I'm in an emotional state already. It's much easier for me to write when things are not going well. So I have that kind of energy behind it, and it just kind of comes together usually at the same time.
Your lyrics seem to talk about relationships from all sides, in, out, wanting in, wanting out. Would you care to comment on that?
Yeah, I do tend to write a lot of relationship tunes. A lot of them came at the time when I was coming out, and everybody knows what a rough time that is. This song, Let It Happen, I actually had a boyfriend at the time, but I was surrounded by lesbian women and playing in a lesbian bar, and I knew where my roots were, and it was happening, and I actually wrote that song, Let It Happen, and was playing it for this girl that I really liked, you know, and I think she got the hint on that one.
Here is Let It Happen.
Why don't you shoot? Don't you know I don't play these games? I got the feeling that we'll feel the same. I'm holding out just as long as I can. Oh, come on, baby, don't you understand? I don't want you, your distraction. What I want is some interaction. I'm in trouble, can't you feel it? And if you want to, you can heal it.
What song that you've written are you the most proud?
I think I'm the most proud of The Ride. That is kind of a true story song, and a lot of people can relate to that song. It's about codependency and how sometimes in a relationship with somebody, if you can't help them and you can't see them, watch them going downhill, that it's sometimes best to take that step back. You know, save yourself, and hopefully they'll save themselves.
Find some trash, look for a trash can. If they ask, you're doing fine. Then you laugh, think that you fooled them. Easy to run and hide. Come to me with your excuses. This is the life that you choose. I know that you have had some bruises. Looks to me like you still want to lose. Go on. Go on. Come divided. Yes, there's pleasure and there's pain. I'm too tired from the ride I'm on. Do not treasure what remains. So you grab on and you hold tight to her. What the hell is it that you want from me? I'm not here to be a fighter. That's your responsibilities. Grow up. Yeah, grow up. For a trash can. If they ask, say that I'm looking too. Then you can laugh and hide away again. I can do no more for you. Find some trash, look for a trash can. Find some trash,
find some trash, honey, then look for a trash can. 'Cause I can. Yeah, I can.
That was The Ride. So before I ask Ann to tell you about the closing song, I want to thank you all for tuning into the show. And I want to thank Ann Reed, Yvonne Puria, and Ann Engel for their interview comments. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, please write to me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and I'll be back on the fourth Monday of next month with another installment of Queer Music Heritage. Ann, I'm wondering about the song. Please, please, please.
Well, Please, Please, Please was actually written a long time ago, and I don't know if that was as much of a, what a, I think that was more of a tongue-in-cheek kind of song that I just needed some humor in some of my sets. And you know how things go. I don't know if I'm going to say too much about Please, Please, Please.
How does it go over live?
Oh, the ladies love it. It goes over really well. People laugh. They think it's they like how it turns around and twists, and I have a good time with that song.
I thought I should have been.